Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I am one of your hosts, Anthony Casella, and I'm joined by Donnie Hadfield-Smith and Quentin Lamar.
Hi.
We are going to be coming to you every Tuesday to break down the drama, the fashion, and the indignities featured on the most recent episodes of The Real Housewives. So kind of a weekly version of The View, except instead of tackling politics and world events, we will be discussing Kenya Moore. Instead of COVID and the upcoming election, our topic of choice is Leah McSweeney. So that's what we're offering here.
Hard-hitting.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I love all of these shows. I love the psychology around them. I love discussing them. They're so ingrained in pop culture at this point that you can already feel how important they're going to be to the history of entertainment. And I don't say that sarcastically. I love examining them through the cultural lens of watching this phenomenon that exists at the intersection between female empowerment and sexism. There's a lot to unpack here. Every person comes to The Real Housewives in their own time. My time was in May of 2009 with The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Now, Donnie and Quinn, as you both know, my tastes tend to be very highbrow, lowbrow. So I'm either watching foreign films from the 1960s or scouring the internet for old clips of the Anna Nicole show. I had come across a review of The Real Housewives of New Jersey in Entertainment Weekly, and they gave it a solid B+. Good enough for me, accompanied by a photo of the women hunched over like rugby players wearing fur coats on the boardwalk.
Who was in that season?
Teresa, Caroline, Dina, Danielle, and Jacqueline.
Now, Caroline, like, I don't really know much about like the beginning. So she was the let me tell you something. That was her.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. Okay. Yes. I tuned in, and I think one of the first things Teresa said was, I want to get my boobs done, but my husband, Joe, he's more of an ass guy. And I was completely in love. I said, are there more of these shows? And the answer was yes.
Unfortunately.
In almost every major city. So I caught up on Atlanta, New York, OC, just as Beverly Hills and DC were debuting. And I bought my ticket and I've been on the train ever since. Donnie, what about you?
Well, you pulled me on the train and you kept trying. You bought my ticket for me and I just wouldn't get on. I just wanted
That's
to walk.
True. That's true.
There were numerous times he asked me to watch Scary Island. I feel like anytime I wanted you to watch something, it was always a deal. I was like, Anthony, a new sitcom's out. Anthony, a new movie's out. And you said, I will if you watch this episode, if you watch
right.
this city.
So you've been That's making right. deals to watch stuff way before you met me.
Yeah. And then he got me roped in Atlanta, the 4-part Atlanta reunion. I went over Anthony's house and he had me watch part 3 and 4 and I was hooked since. So then I went back and watched YouTube compilations of like the best fights, the best moments. And from then I fell in love with Beverly Hills, which I introduced to Quinn. And then tell your story.
I mean, my story is a little bit different because like my taste in reality TV, it varies. Like I can watch Bad Girls Club, which was something that I watched like pretty religiously for a while. And I'm not ashamed to say it. And it like ranges from that to like that show starting over with those women in that house that like in Chicago, they were like trying to revamp their lives. They're like these middle-aged women from across the country. So like there's different things that it's such a good time. It's where, oh God, who started on that? I want to say Ayanla. Is it Ayanla?
Oh, okay.
Fix My Life?
It might not be Ayanla, but somebody, that's driving me crazy. So I was watching that, which a friend of mine, Lakeela, got me into. But my beginning with Real Housewives started with OC, and it was strictly because of Shane Keough. That's really the only reason I watched.
That's the only reason to watch OC.
It was the only reason. Like his mother was like this like pinup playboy chick who married a baseball player. And I was like, that sounds like an interesting family dynamic. And I followed that. She was my favorite housewife in that season. And then I kind of fell off after that, which cut to like years later, I watched Atlanta go to Africa. And I remember the iconic where are the tigers question.
Yes.
And I was like, this is a bunch of mess. I like this, but still only watched like once they left. I stopped watching it because I was like doing other stuff. So to be back even deeper in Housewives than I started out is both sad and amazing. Yeah, it's been a real ride. We started watching what Beverly Hills first.
Mm-hmm.
Because Beverly Hills, for some reason, seemed the most relatable to us.
Oh, once I told you Paris Hilton's aunts were in it, then it was...
Well, I didn't know her aunt was like somebody...
She's
I didn't
not.
Know she was in... Wait, I didn't know she was in Halloween. I didn't know anything about her whatsoever. I also didn't know that her other aunt was from Escape to Witch Mountain. And Paris Hilton was my lead in to like, oh, okay, I like the simple life. Let's see what's going on. And we watched the I think the first episode we watched was the one where Brandy Glanville was like on the crutches and they were acting like animals.
Yeah. Slut pig, that one.
And I was like, I can get with this. Slut pig. So like, I can get with this. And we've been pretty much slowly absorbing other franchises ever since. Like,
yeah.
Real Housewives is essentially a cult. And the deeper you go, the more cities you watch.
And you're our Charles Manson.
basically.
They have the same hair.
Now, enough about us, because we have a lot to get to.
We do.
Now, in November, we're meeting new friends. And by new friends, I mean the women involved in The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The new trailer debuted last week, I believe. What are our thoughts on this? It looked great.
Yeah, I'm very excited. When they first announced the city, I was not all aboard. With other cities that we hear of more often, you know, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, I thought that those would be more obvious choices, but Bravo knows what they're doing.
They do. And I think they picked right with Salt Lake City because just the religious angle alone is such a good thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Have being people involved in like any kind of organized religion like that, you're going to get certain things. You're going to get hypocrisy. You're going to get people who are very like contradicting and kind of a spectacle. And that's exactly what was evident in the trailer. These people are crazy. I saw somebody do a split in the snow. Like she just went down like in the snow. And I'm like, wow, like, that's a commitment to foolery that I will be signing up to watch.
I'm excited. We've never had a city that's focused on religion. You know, we've done, obviously, wealth. We've done social climbing. There's been discussions about race. But religion has not been tackled by Bravo. And I'm curious to see how they will handle it. I want to bring everyone's attention to one specific cast member. Her name is Mary Cosby.
Well, I'm familiar.
Yeah. I don't have the line in front of me right now, but I don't need to remember a line to tell whoever's listening who might not be familiar with this trailer or this cast member that Mary married her grandmother's husband. Who I think would just be Mary's grandfather, right?
Not step-grandfather.
Right. And had kids with him in order to keep the...
Family business, which is a mega church.
Yeah. Yes.
That's like some ancient, like, Roman type
shit. It's something.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited for that. And I do have to say, although... 80% of the cast are white women who all look the same. I guess I'll use the word impressed that this cast is diverse.
The most diverse that we have.
I don't know if it's the most diverse you can get in Salt Lake City because like the women themselves, I think like Kim, like how many, I know that Mary, all I can hear in my head now is, somebody in her family saying, Mary, you're getting married to your grandfather. But, no, like, Mary is, like, these aren't, like, dark-skinned women, though. So it's, like, it's kind of a, they're black. I saw her, like, doing the praise dance in her church. Like, she got that down. Like, she's that kind of black. But, I'm not really sold on the diversity of it. But I do think it's... For Bravo, it is definitely diverse for City and the Housewives franchise.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean. It's diverse for Bravo. For a Housewives franchise on Bravo, where their feet aren't to the fire, post everything going on. Because this casting would have happened, say, a year and a half ago or quite a while ago. Again, not patting them on the back. It's a
acknowledgement.
It's a baby step, but it's the baby step that's kind of like, I didn't know you could walk like that. I don't know. So let's move over to what I am going to consider, and I think you both do too, the current crown jewel in terms of cities airing, and I'm going to say in terms of all of the cities, that crown jewel is Potomac.
Oh, yes.
Agreed.
I mean,
but I always liked Potomac. I remember when it came out, you weren't a huge fan of it, but I saw Potomac for the potential that it had. It was, I knew what it could be. Like these, I knew those women were like going to be all in, and they are all in.
It's incredible. I think I lifted off my sofa when I watched this week's episode. Like I levitated. I was so excited. I'm interested to get into this because I am a Monique fan, and I have to be honest with myself, and I'm not a Candace fan. Don't you dare say otherwise. Not a Candace fan.
Mm-mm. Her mama's not even a fan of her.
Hit her with a purse.
Right.
Oh, her husband. I always think about that. As much as I don't like Candace, it is nowhere near as much as her husband doesn't. So that's something.
I thought Candace had a pretty good episode this week. And I thought Monique had a really bad episode. And I'm curious to hear what you think.
I have theories.
So, yes. Mine is twofold. Maybe even three. We'll see how many times I can fold, honey.
Origami.
So, number one, I think, is the editors. The editors and producers, I'm nervous of their motive behind this episode. And kind of the road we're going down in general. There has been buzz that after the fight that we're getting soon, that Monique leaves the show. So if that is true, I think that editing is being set up so we turn against her so we're not upset when she leaves. So that's number one. Number two, I am a Monique apologist. So there were some things and some behaviors this episode that I saw where I said, like, she seems a little unhinged, but I found
tightly wound.
Yeah, but I found ways to explain them to myself. I am a big planner and I like things done my way. We started filming this episode of the podcast 5 minutes after we planned to, and I about had a breakdown. When I told you our food came late and could we record later, I was trembling as I typed it. So if
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
That's insane.
It's a schedule that he set. Like it's how are you? We don't need to get into that.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about Monique Samuel. We don't have the
psychologist on standby to address that. So continue.
But with that said, I do understand why she planned this birthday getaway for herself. And these women came and complained how bored they were the entire time, said that like fishing was beneath them. And now Giselle and Monique, who she kind of already doesn't like, the two of them anyway, they are sitting inside for an hour instead of coming to her bonfire.
Giselle and Candace.
Who did I say? Oh yeah, Giselle and Candace. I'm sorry.
No, that makes sense. This for me felt like I wish Monique was smarter about how to be on the show.
Yeah.
Because I think Monique doesn't understand, and a lot of these women don't understand across all the shows. Like the camera doesn't pick up on your emotions. It picks up on your behaviors.
Right.
So the camera doesn't understand that she's upset that someone might be disrespecting her home.
Right.
Upset that they might be talking about her marriage. What the camera's picking up is her pretending to be asleep so she doesn't have to say goodbye to Candace, yeah, who's in her home.
Right.
It's picking up her kind of making women feel uncomfortable for I don't know, for an hour or so going into the house and speaking, which is pretty large get-togethers at parties. It's pretty standard. And two of those,
split up, right,
those three women were getting along with her at that point. Yeah. So it seemed really paranoid. There was a few things that made me, I turned into the little emoji with the monocle, like, who? Like, that was me.
I do think that they could have said, like, can you give us whatever, a half hour, an hour? We need to talk about something privately. And they weren't open to saying that until, not that it was too late, but she had already, they called her a stalker. They said, get your pretzels and go. It wasn't set up for her to take it in a good way.
I agree. And I mean, I know Candace is like getting kudos, but if, I mean, I realize this is TV and entertainment, right, but if she wasn't going to just do it with just her and Ashley, then you might as well have told everybody. So it's like, I don't get the whole point of her pretending like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm holding on to this information and here I am yet again. And
yeah, she get knows
saying that, you know, everybody hears things all the time. You just don't have to address it. I do think that Monique is like, she's playing a dangerous game, being so, I want to say righteous, or trying to be righteous in all this foolishness,
right,
that she signed up for, that's going to continue to happen. And another question is like, why have them over for her birthday, period? That's not how I would want to spend my birthday.
Well, that's
just a personal.
Yeah, that part of that, she didn't want to spend her birthday either. I think she was upset about that too, that Chris didn't celebrate the way she wanted, how she wanted him to have that barbecue for her, and then he didn't.
Yeah.
So then there's that. She went into the whole event already mad at him. So it was just misplaced anger all around. She wasn't upset about s'mores, but that's what she was saying.
Yeah, and then it's like you have Candace being, you know, Candace. And as far as the edit, maybe they are editing Monique to be the bad guy. Or it could be to try to redeem Candace, because Candace kind of really painted herself in the corner with a lot of the women and with the homophobic stuff that came out on her social media. Like, there's a lot for them to try to redeem in her. And I don't feel like they really did. Like, I don't feel like she's done anything that's like not shown her to be the same old Candace. It's just like full of crap. But Monique is definitely taking the bait in some ways. And she, her behavior is not, it's not, I don't think it's what she wants it. It's not portraying what I think she wants it to.
Yeah, it just seemed to me like she was so tightly wound, paranoid, and it was kind of coloring her decision-making for knowing what battles she wanted to take on.
Right.
She was kind of wasting energy on some things that...
Even Wendy pointed out wasn't a big deal. And that's kind of a red flag.
Yeah, she's
like very like, oh, I don't like this is whatever. And I'm like, Wendy, please, you just wait until they come for your marriage. Because you already are unhinged. And,
I will say...
Yeah, I want to talk about her.
Let's talk about her.
Keep going.
One well, point
like finding out that none of her in-laws like her,
that was interesting.
Looking back at her first episodes and everything, I'm like, I wonder why.
that was interesting. I will say really quick, I you know, Monique was like, why are we talking about marriages, let's not talk about this. Giselle knew, but not everyone ended up knowing once Monique brought it up the next morning to talk about that they had separated themselves. Like, no one would have known about it.
Right.
But it did have to happen. The conversation was going to have to happen on camera because Candace learned the information on camera. Right. So there was no real way for her to get around that. That was kind of like a Melissa Gorga last season of New Jersey situation, where it's like, well, now that you, when they
learned
say like it's out there, they mean like it's on the show. So now like we have to see it through as a storyline. Aside from roping Giselle in, I thought she handled it as best she could.
She handled it fine. Yeah. And I think it was, she knows Giselle's the messiest. So I think that is interesting that she picked her. But also Giselle and Ashley are, I could argue, the closest. Like, the wife that Ashley is closest to is Giselle. So I could understand why you would want her to be the middle person.
Yes, that makes sense. I do want to pivot to Ashley and Michael, but first I don't want to skip how incredible and iconic drunk Karen was doing fireball shots.
Oh boy.
Incredible. I believe the quote was, I don't have an old vagina.
Yeah,
I believe so. It's moist.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Was it John verse 33:1 in the Bible? No, it was Karen who said she has a young vagina. Let's talk about Ashley and Michael. the end of that episode last night, mm-hmm. I felt like I was in a Quentin Tarantino film. 7 months later, 5 minutes later, 2 days later. What was happening? I lost track of the timeline.
Well, it was only 24 hours, but I understand the confusion.
They might as well have like calendar pages ripping off. Like it was like very, it was very intense for something anticlimactic.
It reminded me of like Death Becomes Her, where in the first half hour it says 7 years later, 7 years later, 7 years later, and you're like doing the math. That's what reminded me.
21 years.
Yeah. I felt that phone call though, her driving around. Hi, honey, what are you doing? I'm having lunch and looking at a document. He said it three times.
The document that he was reading was Grindr. She knows she can't trust him. And she doesn't, and she shouldn't. And, hey,
how many photos do I personally have to look at of Michael Darby putting on his clothes from behind? I'm good with it. This is like the fourth. This is the fourth in a few years. Am I wrong?
He's just good at it, I guess. Good at putting your clothes on from behind, not so good at keeping a restaurant open.
That was a good restaurant.
Oh, I loved Oz. I was there like five times.
Yeah, it was good.
If I lived in the area, maybe they'd still be open.
We had some good times there too.
We did. Ashley was never there, but
but we were. Okay, let's leave Potomac and let's head over to Beverly Hills because we have some things to discuss
over there.
Let's go. My first question is: how do we feel this franchise has been treating Garcelle in terms of making sure her voice and her intentions are coming through clear to the audience? And the reason I say that and I've asked that is because we were shown footage from the conversation where Garcelle asked Lisa Rinna on their cast trip to Italy.
Yes.
Asked Lisa Rinna if she thinks her dancing on Instagram affected her daughter's eating disorder. Right. And they took out footage that they later put online of kind of more of a give and take with Garcelle, where she offered her own experiences with parenting and a son who she explained dabbled and fell a little bit into drugs, but I believe is okay now, and how she was afraid, or she is dealing with the effects that some of her behavior in terms of being too lax with him could have had. And I feel like that opens up what the conversation was in a way that seems less aggressive than Garcelle just asking, to be frank,
did you cause your daughter's eating disorder?
Yes. Yeah. It feels like there was more nuance happening.
Right,
there.
Yeah. And it was clear in the original episode that something was missing because it just cut to all of them crying, Garcelle included. And I said, like, we're not seeing something here. And then when they aired that clip online of her saying, you know, all mothers have trouble. All mothers, we need to work with each other as like a community, whatever, all of that. None of that was shown the first time. And I don't know why.
I don't know why either. I do think that would have definitely added some depth to what she said and not made her seem like she was just looking for trouble or being insensitive.
Yeah.
But also, I think that a big part of it is that Garcelle really wasn't there. Like, she wasn't there for a lot of things. I don't feel like we really got to see how she was really being treated because there wasn't really a lot there.
True.
Like, if next season we see her like not really being heard and them doing this, then I think we'd be like, okay, so now there's clearly something going on. But now I don't feel like there's really enough. Cause like I find myself constantly throughout the season, where is Garcelle? Like,
yeah.
So, and she was like so busy doing stuff. And I'm happy. Like, I feel like this is the busiest she's ever been. Like, she's like, oh, I got coming to America. I was like, you didn't even have lines in the first one. You literally were like in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie and you didn't speak. You held a bowl of roses. So I'm like, what are you doing now?
Planting roses.
But still, you know, I'm so happy for it because like she is, you know, I'm sure a lot of people didn't even know she was in it, but still.
I also thought it was really hypocritical of Lisa Rinna to be so outraged by the question. I mean, this is a woman who has lobbed some really dirty controversial questions at people. I'm thinking of, were people doing coke in your bathroom? Mm-hmm. And others that are escaping me right now, but I know they exist. So to be asked really an open-ended question that I think if you were trying to find a line as to how accusatory it was inferring something, but it was really giving Lisa like the opportunity to answer in a way that could have politely debunked it. And Lisa hasn't given people that in the past. That combined with not really feeling as though I heard enough of why Garcelle felt shut out by Kyle. I feel like we just heard her bring it up. Then they showed a bunch of footage that kind of seemed to imply that she was in the wrong, and then it just kind of disappeared. Well, I would have liked to hear more about that, and I would have liked to hear more about it because she got, you know, hit with the accusation that she didn't give money to the charity. I left the season, I know it's not over yet, I left the season with a bad taste in my mouth for how I feel some of the editing and some of the storytelling and some of the women mistreated Garcelle.
I don't know. I'm conflicted. Like, I get that, I can see that, but at the same time, I don't remember seeing her saying anything to Kyle and Kyle ignoring her. Like, I don't remember seeing that
one dinner where Sutton called Teddy pregnant and boring.
Not wrong. Not wrong.
Not wrong.
And that one is where Garcelle felt like Kyle was ignoring her. She was ignoring her in that moment because she was in the middle of a fight with Dorit. So like Garcelle was like, Kyle, Kyle. And then Garcelle was screaming across the table. I understood that particular instance. But then for her to say like, this is an ongoing thing. And then we see a montage of Kyle being the only one reaching out to her. It was
like, I don't know. Did anybody besides that one moment, did anybody else see Kyle ignoring her? Because I don't remember seeing that.
No. And I am not a Kyle apologist. So if I...
Me either.
Yeah.
Me either. We all know that.
And then given the fact that there were a lot of things that Garcelle just simply wasn't there for, like,
right. Times and that was Kyle's.
Yeah, like, I haven't really seen you. Like, she didn't, there's so much that they didn't do where they could have had time to, like, I don't know, I guess get close or, like, do stuff. But, like, before that even happened, she was saying, you ignore me. Yeah. So, I don't know.
That's true. I think I would have liked overall clarity on what the editing was trying to tell us, because mm-hmm. I wasn't clear on what I was supposed to take away from that.
Well, I think the editing is always going to be Queen Kyle and her, like, henchmen. So whoever side they're not on is going to get the poor edit. So I think we did take away that Garcelle is claiming that Kyle didn't make time for her. And then we get the montage that Kyle, yes, did make time for you. And you are the one that's never there and all of this. Now, whether it's more even-sided or whether that is the true case, we'll never know unless they have unseen footage we'll see next season. But as of now, we won't know that. And I think that's because Kyle and friends are the ones running the show.
We need a new queen. I hope that Garcelle comes back next season. I feel like there are some things floating around that make me feel hopeful about it. What we do know is that we are losing Denise next year.
Yeah, we saw that coming.
We saw that coming. My question to the group, let's factor in both seasons. Was Denise Richards a good Real Housewife?
Her first season, I think that Denise Richards was a good friend of. I couldn't tell you any of her home scenes besides being late to her wedding. But besides that, like, I think her conversations were fun. I think she brought a good, fresh, like, friendship energy to the group, where the rest of the season was about dogs. So I think, was that season or she came on after?
Yeah, that's that season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lisa, I think,
Goosey.
Yeah. I remember more of Denise's contributions to like group scenes than I do to Lucy Goosey Apple Juicy. But then she didn't bring that back the second season. Not only did she not bring back what she already gave, she closed more doors.
I think her being married definitely changed things.
Mm.
And I think that's what I've said. Was she a good name and a good draw, yes. And I think if she was single, she would have been a good housewife. But once she got married, her priorities seemed to shift. And I don't blame her for that. But right. that's not what she signed up for. And that's not good TV. It makes perfect sense to me why she's leaving now. I mean, she pretty much left before the season was over.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, she's not coming back. Like, duh. And still, Brandy is not going to join the cast. So
no.
That's the funny thing.
For me, Denise as a Real Housewife is kind of like Kate Hudson's acting career. There was a lot of promise, but it never quite paid off. And I think we're fine to see her off.
Wow.
I'm not fine to see
We're bashing Kate Hudson tonight. All right.
Quinn.
No, we're not.
Her first film, Almost Famous, is her best film. That's sad. That's sad.
I would like to say that How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Thank you.
Is.
Thank you.
Not something to build a career on.
No, that's not what you were going to say. He likes that movie.
I do like that movie because they have chemistry, but that doesn't mean it's a good movie.
Fine.
And from Almost Famous to that, I mean,
yeah,
you're not wrong.
Thank you. do we want Kris Jenner next year?
No.
I love the idea of her. I just think we're going to have a like Rinna 2.0. I think it'll be very performative. I think it'll be the narrative she wants to tell. And we already have Rinna doing that with that little haircut. We don't need another one running around doing it too.
This is now an offensive podcast with three men who are telling women how to wear their hair. And the answer is no pixies, ladies.
I never said anything. I don't, I'm still team Brandy. I don't think that's actually Lisa Rinna's hair. I think that's a wig. So
if it was, she'd have a fucking name for it.
Tiffany, Beverly.
No, that is the Lisa.
Heather.
It's the Lisa. She's messy and, and past her prime.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Can you get it on QVC? I wonder.
Okay. Let's move over to New York, since we have more of Beverly Hills to talk about next week, because they're in their third part of the reunion. So this was the first part of the Real Housewives of New York City reunion. I found it thrilling.
It was. I don't hate virtual reunions as much as other people do, both in this group or online. But I will say there's a magic and an excitement to an in-person reunion. And after 181 days in quarantine, it was good to see our girls together again.
I think it was you who said it looked like the Hunger Games. It was great.
It was very post, yes.
I loved it.
And I think Atlanta was the first franchise to have a virtual reunion. And if there is a cast that could pull off a virtual reunion, it was Atlanta.
God, yes.
But with that said, if there's a cast that deserves an in-person reunion, it's New York. They're messy. They're unhinged. We wouldn't have seen Sonia slathering her legs up with sanitizer if we did it at home.
There's well, guess just, what? I need a little shine for tonight.
Yeah, there's just an excitement that we wouldn't have got.
Yeah,
so I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, I agree. I needed to see it in person because I wanted to see Tinsley come and like defend her boss move of just like, I'm out of here. Like she really
she almost ruined our show.
I'm not doing that shit. I'm not doing that shit. Fuck completely... you. I'm not doing it.
Tinsley
your
was
Trump
like,
impression.
Tinsley was like, y'all think that I'm not worth being worried about? Well, look at me. I'm about to fuck up your show. I'm about to cut all this off.
Oh, yeah, she sure did.
She seemed very confident at the reunion, too. Yeah. Like, I feel like her voice was a little deeper. She was a little more like...
There were no stakes. Like, she's never going to see these women again.
That's right.
Except for Leah. So, like...
Yeah, they're filming live videos.
She's not going to be chilling with Ramona. I was very happy to see the reunion. It was... Leah's dress was...
incredible. Not what you were going to say. I was here for
it. Incredible is a good word for it, but it's just like, I find Leah extremely attractive.
Oh.
So like.
You heard it
I
here
love
first,
that she dresses that way.
Quinn, put it away.
It's never away.
Oh, God. Leah ain't the only one with a wop, wop, wop.
Leah is very attractive.
She is. But like it was a good dress. Like I think everybody looked nice. I think I feel like Tinsley always looks like, I feel like she always looks nice. Like she's always dressed nice, but it's never anything that's like, it's like you expect that from Tinsley. It's like, oh, she just looks like Tinsley. She looks like she's going to a mixture of like prom and like some kind of pageant or prom. Like it's always the same look for her. To me,
Tinsley always looks like she just found her way to land from living under in the sea. You know what I mean? Like everything's very mermaid-esque.
It's very flowy and roughly like it. I feel like it would take a lot. If you wanted to like do something with Tinsley, you'd have to go through a lot of clothes and garments to get there.
Yes. What did we think of the unseen footage that they played at the end of Dorinda yelling at John and a little bit of that reveal that kind of, I think, arguably offered a little bit of insight into why Dorinda might be?
Yeah, I wonder why they held on to it. Like, I feel like they were holding on to it all this time to show after one of them left, or to show when they were ready to bury Dorinda. Because I can't tell why we were supposed to watch two seasons worth of this show and not know why this tiff was happening if we had footage of it.
That's a good point. Who knows why production works in mysterious ways.
You're right.
It really shed some light on it for me, because like I never understood what Dorinda's beef was anyway either. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, so this is it. And Tinsley always knew, but Tinsley could have said it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it, even though production had that footage, she could have been like, well, I think this is why. I mean, and she didn't see that footage to connect the dots. She had to have already think.
And Sonya never said it either. Because
it was a weird mystery.
Yeah. So I don't. So maybe maybe that was just like, since she's gone, let's fire this off. And yeah.
Wow.
They kind of they've been burying her, and it just hasn't gotten better. I will say, I know it happened earlier in the season, but I relived it, as I think we all did, as we rewatched for the first part of the reunion. That turkey baster comment might be the meanest thing I've ever heard on one of these shows.
Yeah, no, it was nasty. Phaedra.
Oh, Phaedra's read to Kenya.
Medium-sized pizza.
That's up there. I would also say anytime the members of Atlanta reference Kenya's bad skin, that always makes me feel like we've gone like below the gutter. But
look at Kenya. You have to grab it what you can.
Oh, that's true.
There's not a lot to be said about Kenya's looks physically.
Kenya's gorgeous.
What
he means.
That's what I mean. She's gorgeous. Right. So you have to pick it. You have to do what you can. Ashy, like that's
what was that thing she said at the reunion, Quinn, when she said, "You can't come for my beauty."
Oh, she told Marla, she was like, "You cannot come for my beauty," and like everybody got quiet because
she's right.
You can't, like, you, I mean, I love Marla to death, but she can't sit there and like try to say that King is ugly. Like, no, it's a no for me, dog.
No, that's very true. And this was only part one, so we have I believe two more parts that we'll discuss and dissect here. I think that wraps it up for today. What do you all think? Any final thoughts before we leave?
I just wanted to say, I don't wear masks in the ocean. I don't wear masks in the ocean.
You're disgusting. Go to church. Incredible.
That's my last thought. I have nothing else to say.
My last thought is probably what's been in my head ever since I saw it was T'Challa attacking Wendy. I never get tired of seeing that. That's one of the funniest things I think I've seen.
It's so funny. And I love that they found a way to incorporate it into like the last two episodes, even though it happened like a month ago at this point.
That's just where I am. I'm T'Challa flying into Wendy's wig. That's all. That's where I am. That's my final thought.
Incredible. So we have an exciting show for you next week. We are all back and we will be joined by a guest. Sigourney Beaver will be with us, who appeared in the finale of The Real Housewives of New York City. So we have we have someone who has been mixing it up with these ladies. So we'll get to hear a little bit more about that. And I will share a little bit of my own time being at a New York filming a few years ago, of course, but I was still there, so it counts. So maybe me and Sahorny can compare notes. In the meantime, you can follow us at Know That Pod on Instagram. You can follow me at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram. You can follow Quinn at Quentin Lamar on Twitter. You can follow Donnie at Real Donniewood on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow me walking into the ocean after all those plugs for everyone's social medias. Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. And I will leave you with this in the spirit of Teddy Mellencamp. Pink hair is not a personality. Know that. We'll see you next week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.